Hi, this is Andrew from the fundingguru.com website, and today I'm going to talk about something which I've never really spoken about before. I have no idea. I have no idea whether it's going to come out well or not, or jumbled or whatever, so I'll give it a shot. But before I do, as always, I want to just mention that I'm talking to you directly. There's no studio or script that I'm reading from. This is just me kind of answering questions I've been receiving over the last day or two, and getting into some discussions I've been having with different people. What that means is I'm multitasking, I'm walking, and occasionally you'll hear real noises of cars and all sorts of other things going by. And as always, it's about the content rather than the audio quality. So please forgive me if you hear the occasional noise, which doesn't quite fit. So when I started my first company, initially it was in my dorm room at college. And then after graduating, it became a business out of my one bedroom apartment in Manhattan. I mean, I literally took my kind of $50 Staples desk that I had in college and my laptop that I'd bought for college, and moved my sofa down the wall a little, and found a little corner and stuck my Staples desk and my laptop in there. And that was my first, effectively my first company, my first office. I never really felt the need to, you know, take office space or recruit lots of people for that matter to prove that the business existed. The model effectively was to find companies who had areas of expertise in the kind of component parts of the business and to outsource those elements to those companies that already had economies of scale and already had efficiencies and so on. And so what I did was I took what was effectively a design, my design, and a design that was prototyped by an engineering friend of mine. And we took that product and we outsourced almost all elements of it, apart from the marketing, interestingly. So at its highest, there were three people in the company, and we were all, I mean, despite the fact I'd launched products through Procter & Gamble and used the infrastructure that Procter & Gamble has to kind of start and launch products to markets, I was still kind of guessing when it came to doing it myself without any infrastructure at all. I was still kind of putting the pieces together myself. And although I was guessing, I had a decent foundation with P&G, but still, although I was guessing, it didn't matter too much because I was the one who was benefiting or suffering from my inexperience in terms of starting and growing a business outside of a kind of corporate environment, i.e. a real entrepreneurial business. But in my second company, I went out and I had a concept, I had an idea for a business. I wrote a business plan, I did all the things you were supposed to do, and I had moved by this point to Silicon Valley. And I went and spoke to most of the VCs, you know, most of the big VCs in Silicon Valley, the Kleiner Perkins, the Sequoias, the Benchmarks, all the different folks out there, and tried to raise, you know, $5-6 million. And ultimately, having been through a few fundraising rounds already with my first company, although these were bigger numbers, managed to put the necessary pieces in place to get two VCs to give us that. Actually, it was about $6 million. But it quickly turned from being me and three other people who were the kind of core team as we raise that money and as we kind of, even actually before we signed the deal and even before we raised them, had the money in the bank, those four people, i.e. myself and three others, you know, became eight. And then they became 10. And all the while, I was the founder and the CEO. And it was difficult. It was actually difficult to be the CEO of a new growing company with, you know, $6 million in the bank and people who had put a significant amount of faith in me to be the CEO. And I'll explore that a little. I mean, it was difficult because somebody had written a check, or two somebodies rather, had written a check for $6 million. But it was also difficult because people were resigning from other jobs to join my company. They were, you know, changing their careers to buy into the vision that I had for the business. And that's one of the critical things about, you know, starting a business, a real business, a big business, and being the CEO. One of your functions is to have a strong vision of where you're taking the company and why, and to be passionate about it, and to be able to encourage others to join. I mean, it's one of the key functions, right? I mean, there's the function of raising money. There's the function of being the face of the company in terms of the publicity, talking to the press and that sort of thing. And another key function of a CEO is to recruit fantastic people. And often when you're a young business, and a very, very young business, you don't just sort of put an ad out there and have people respond and you go through the forms and pick them. It's actually a lot more, there's more selling involved in that than that, rather. You know, your friends of friends are being introduced to you. You're getting together over coffee. You're realizing that these people have phenomenal skills that you need to make your business a success. And you are having to convince them of the opportunity, the vision of where you as the founder want to take the company. And when you're the founder, they look at you as whether or not you're somebody to place a bet on. And that bet they're placing is to some degree their futures, at least their futures in the short term, because, you know, they're potentially dedicating 1 year, 2 years, 3 years more of their lives to you, and they're risking their, you know, their mortgage payments, their homes, their school fees, all the things they need to survive on you and your vision and your business. And it's not easy. I mean, one of the things I found difficult, at least at first, was how to be right, but also how to be wrong. And what I mean by that is, when you're the CEO, people look at you like you're supposed to have all the answers. I mean, they expect you to know what, not only where we're going and why we're going there, but how all the how each of the steps in between are supposed to be. And so you are the leader. I mean, you're the leader. You're the person who they're putting their absolute faith in. Now, the funny thing is, and I discover this in politics, people often want to be led. Now, I'm not meaning that in a derogatory sense. I'm not being critical of people. But a lot of people feel more comfortable about life if somebody else is ultimately taking a lot of the key decisions for them. And that does sound bad, and I don't mean it to, but when you join a company as a junior person, what are you doing? I mean, you are relying upon whoever is running that company to be making the big decisions that ultimately affect your life and your stability and your financial growth. And you are devolving that direction and that that decision making to some fundamental parts of your life to somebody else, or to a group of people, key executives, to the CEO. And I've got to say, as the founder and as the CEO of a company that grew with that $6 million and then raised another 15, that as the company grew, I became more and more aware that I was guessing. I as a young man at the time, I was kind of early 30s, I was guessing the decisions I was making. I was hoping that the decisions I was making were correct, that the strategies, the decisions were the right thing to do for the company, for its health and success, and for the people who were placing their trust in me as the employees. And it was tough. I mean, it made me nervous. It made me nervous because I felt like I shouldn't be guessing. I felt like I should know the answers. And I've since discovered, maybe, now I'm in my mid-40s, and probably 10, 15 years on since then, that people are always guessing. Even if you're, 50, 45, 40, you're having to make the best decisions as the founder of a company, as the CEO, with the information you have at hand. And I guarantee you, some of those decisions will be great decisions, and some of them will be crappy decisions. And you hope that as you get more experience and as you learn more, that you'll minimize the crappy ones and optimize the good ones, and that the crappy decisions you make won't be life-threatening to your business and to its long-term growth and stability. So how did I cope with this? There's a really long answer, and I don't have time now. I keep these things relatively short. But one way was to find people outside of the company who were smart and who were maybe a little older. Some weren't, actually, but, there you go. Just different people who had a slightly outsider's perspective, but who were bright people who understood how business works. And I, got into a kind of group of folks, and we got together on a regular basis, and we chatted about things and blew off steam, and that helped. So, if you're in this situation one way or another, by all means, reach out to me, and maybe I can connect you with some folks, and we can have those discussions, because obviously I'm growing businesses all the time now. But that's a different note. But part of it is recognizing that you don't always have to be right. You don't always have to look like you're being right. And people aren't going to completely collapse into emotional heaps of jelly if you say that you don't know the answer to something. So if you're in a meeting of executives in your company, and people are looking at you for an answer, it's okay to say, well, what do you guys think? Or, I don't know, actually. Let's go through the data. Let's go through the information. Now, what you must do as a CEO and as a founder is not necessarily have all the answers, but you must make a decision. And this is the key distinction. You don't necessarily have to have all the answers as the founder. But you do, when the time comes and when it's necessary, with all of the information you have at hand, and it can be incomplete information, you do need to make the decision. Because no decision, waiting for perfect information, is a decision in and of itself, often not the one you want. So, as the founder and CEO, you don't have a responsibility to have all the answers. But you do have a responsibility to make the tough calls and make the decisions when necessary. And that can mean tough calls around individuals who you need to let go. It can mean tough calls in terms of products that you thought would be successful and aren't, and you need to can them. Or markets that you need to grow into aggressively, or mergers that you need to make, or I don't know, whatever. But ultimately, you may not have all the answers, but you do have to make the decisions. Ultimately, the buck stops with you. And yes, you have a board of advisors or a board of directors who help you with the strategy and help you with important decisions. But ultimately, the buck will invariably stop with you. And that's what you signed up for when you started your business. That's what you signed up for when you decided to grow your business and when you decided to get funding for your business. And ultimately, if you've got the seat at the head of the table, that's your role. Okay, so some things to think about. I don't know if this is helpful. I hope it is. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments. Like I said, I'm taking you through things I've never really spoken about before. And if you would like to join together with a group of people who are founders of companies like yourself, by all means, reach out and I can potentially bring you into contact with a fellow mastermind group. Aside from that, thanks for coming to thefundingguru.com, the SoundCloud, the Funding Guru stream, and thanks to our sponsors, tfgcoaching.com, where we help entrepreneurs and founders start, grow, and fund their business. And the thinking is, if we can help you go through that process much, much faster with our help, because we've been there, done it, and seen it before, then, it could help you in terms of grabbing market share. It could help you in terms of getting the funding you need. And it could help you in terms of ultimately getting into the market much more quickly, much more aggressively, growing. And all of those things are worth the minimal fees involved in working with the tfgcoaching.com. All right. Look forward to catching up. Let me know your thoughts and comments either directly or via thefundingguru.com. or any other means, Twitter or whatever. Thanks very much. Hope to see you soon. Bye.